It's here and now. Did Donald Trump have a Howard Dean-style political meltdown when he went on a tirade in a 95-minute campaign speech in Iowa last night? Here he is questioning Ben Carson's claim that religion was his salvation when he was a violent young man after trying to stab a friend.
How stupid are the people of Iowa? How stupid are the people of the country to believe this crap?
Wow, a stunning moment calling the people of Iowa and America stupid. We'll unpack that and other news of the week in 2016 politics.
Here and now.
2016.
Our guest this week, Jesse Holland, who manages the AP Politics Twitter feed. Hi, Jesse.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And Julie Mason is back with us. She's host of the Press Pool on SiriusXM's POTUS channel 124. Hi, Julie.
Hey, guys.
And let's talk about that Trump speech from last night. I want to hear a little bit more of it because he really went after a lot of the candidates, but Ben Carson specifically, who had admitted to having a pathological temper as a young man. Here's what Donald Trump had to say.
He took a knife and he went after a friend and he lunged that knife into the stomach of his friends. But lo and behold, it hit the belt. It hit the belt, and the knife broke. Give me a break. Give me a break.
So that was just part of it, Julie. But Julie, your thoughts. Well, let's start with you here.
OMG. You know, every time you think Donald Trump, he's gone too far, America, he just takes it a little bit further. In another point in the speech, he compared Ben Carson to a child molester. And I think that might be the thing that really gets him in trouble. Ben Carson, retired pediatric neurosurgeon, beloved by the party. This might be too far. But I don't know. Aren't we all out of the prognostication business with regard to Donald Trump?
Well, I don't know.
Jesse, what do you think?
You tell us. You're here to tell us.
I mean, how can you say that this will be too far when last time he did something crazy, it was too far? The time before that, he did something that politicians knew, and it was too far. But he's still leading in the polls. So as long as he's at the top of the polls, what can they do to him?
You know, but he went really far last night.
Ben Carson is on top of the polls. Carson is on top of the polls, and Donald Trump has held off on attacking him, and now he's attacking him. I don't know. This might be a new corner for Donald Trump.
Well, Julie, he went pretty far last night. He cursed. He said he'd bomb the blank out of ISIS. He said Marco Rubio was weak like a baby, referring to Carly Fiorina. He said, Carly, what's her name? I mean, it really at some moments looked as if he was having some kind of a mental breakdown or something. What do you think?
Well, we've been waiting to see what would happen when he wasn't the supreme leader of the Republican field, when he sort of started to drop in the polls, when he started to get some criticism. And maybe that's what we're seeing. He's becoming a bit unhinged.
Jesse, Ben Carson has spent this past week in part defending the truthfulness of his personal narrative. And on Fox News, he weighed in on this week's protests and resignations over racism on college campuses or racial insensitivity on college campuses. Here he is.
Well, we're being a little bit too tolerant, I guess you might say, accepting infantile behavior. And I don't care which side it comes from. You know, to say that I have the right to violate your civil rights because you're offending me is un-American.
How is this playing out for him? And do you think that he, if he becomes the nominee, is going to be able to win over African-American voters in this country?
Well, the person who was happiest about Trump's speech last night was Ben Carson, because it took the attention away from his biographies. It took the attention away from his statements that Joseph built the pyramids. We're not talking about that anymore. But going back to Missouri, it's easy for him to make these statements now because in the Republican primaries, there aren't that many African-American voters to worry about. So he can play to the conservative base in Iowa. Now, we would probably hear him change his tune a little bit if he makes it to the general. But right now, he can pretty much say whatever he likes on race because most of the people in the Republican primary already agree with him.
Well, let me ask you guys something else about Ben Carson. He's been asked not only about the comments about the pyramids supposedly being used to store grain, but he's also been under fire for some of his foreign policy claims that he made in the last debate, such as his claim that China is supposedly fighting in Syria. Listen to this.
Wait, is that not true, Indira?
Well, let's listen to what he had to say about it.
Well, China has been trying to extend its influence not only throughout the Middle East, but throughout Africa. And in several locations, and their interest extends into that region as well. You know, I would have to refer you to some other people to get you the actual data, but they've shown it to me.
Wow, so he's being shown actual data about China and the Middle East. Stunning. I mean, did we learn something new about Ben Carson or other candidates' strengths and weaknesses this week? What struck you? Julie.
Well, what struck me was how adorable it is when people with absolutely no familiarity with foreign policy try to talk about it. You know, we run into the same problem, though, with governors, people who haven't served in the federal government, who don't get those kind of briefings that, say, members of the United States Senate do, and just their lack of knowledge. But the problem is they can skate by on this, as you know, Indira, because not that many people have, like, a deep knowledge of foreign policy. And, hey, China's in Syria. That sounds plausible. And he generals told him that. So, who, you know,
I want to know
on.
Which generals he's talking to who are telling him that. Need to make a list.
Well, I was with Carson last week when he was in Florida, and he was starting to make these statements. But, you know, the crowds he's talking to, they don't know any different. They think since they hear it from Carson, it must be true. So he's allowed to make these statements until reporters and other politicians correct him. But the people whose votes he's looking for, they're taking it as coming from Ben Carson, so it must be true.
I want to get to the Democrats, but I do want to just take a moment to talk about immigration, because that was another big issue this week with Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz kind of on opposite sides of this. We know that Donald Trump wants to deport everybody who's here illegally, and sounds like some others are there with him. John Kasich not there with him. Jeb Bush not there with him. But what do you think, Julie, between the Marco Rubio-Ted Cruz battle over immigration?
It's fascinating to watch Ted Cruz trying to carve out a space for himself between Donald Trump and Marco Rubio. And I really think going forward, that especially in the Republican primary, that Marco Rubio's past statements on immigration reform are really going to hurt him. They're seen as, you know, one of his very few big mistakes. And watching him grapple around with this issue, it's a little painful.
Well, let's talk about the Democrats a bit. Al Gore declined to endorse Hillary Clinton this week. That was kind of surprising considering how much time they spend in the White House together. He said it's too early now. She's had some biography trouble, questions about a story she's told about whether she tried to join the Marines as a woman in the 1970s. How's her campaign doing?
Well, it seems like her campaign's doing just fine, despite all of this, because, you know, look at the number of delegates she's already got in her corner. We reported out today that she's almost 13% on her way to getting the delegates she needs.
You were talking here about super delegates, right? Because none of the delegates from the states will be put out there until next year. But go ahead.
Right. But she's already halfway. She's already on her way to getting the delegates she needs for the commitments she needs to be for the nomination. So for her, a lot of this is just distraction. If she can just keep it all under control for a few more months, she'll be on her way to the nomination.
And they're going in. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Julie.
One of the dangers for Hillary Clinton is when she gets too comfortable, isn't it? That's when we see the big mistakes, when the coronation, the inevitability, that's when she starts to kind of mess it up a little bit. So that's a real danger for her, especially heading into this weekend's debate. And as for Al Gore, wasn't that so Al Gore of Al Gore? He wants to be a player. He wants to be the man. He wants to be someone people come to.
Well, we know who Bill Clinton's going to go for, so there aren't that many former politicians that are going to be up there. Let's listen to Hillary Clinton, just to your point, Julia, about sort of how she feels about this. She was asked in New Hampshire this week about whether Bernie Sanders is getting the same kind of scrutiny she is. Here she is.
I'm going to let him run his campaign, respond however he chooses to whatever is going on his side of the aisle. I'm going to stay focused on what I'm doing and what I stand for and what I fight for and make my case to the American people, starting with the caucuses and primaries and then hopefully going on in the general election.
Jesse, I just got to ask, a debate on Saturday night, what is that about? Why are they putting a debate on Saturday? Do they not want people to watch it?
Well, you know, there is college football also on Saturday night. So, yeah. But it seems like that they're not as interested, the Democratic Party isn't as interested as getting the ratings and the eyeballs on their debates like the Republicans are. And maybe this is because they only have three major candidates left. There's Hillary Clinton, there's Martin O'Malley, and there's Bernie Sanders. We've seen them before. Do we really expect any fireworks from any debate? So maybe they're just not as interested in getting the eyeballs right now.
But there are a lot of people who on the Bernie Sanders side who think that they specifically do not want there to be debates. Or Martin O'Malley would probably say they don't want people to watch these debates. Julie.
Right, exactly. There's a perception among the other two campaigns that the fix is in for Hillary Clinton. But I think we are going to see not fireworks, but I think Hillary Clinton, she's not sweating Bernie Sanders, right? But he's going to be prepping some new attack lines on trade, guns, and I think we might hear a new line from him on the emails on Saturday.
We'll
night.
All be home watching the debate.
All right, Julie Mason is the host of the Press Pool on Sirius XM POTUS Channel 124. Jesse Holland manages the AP Politics Twitter feed. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thanks, guys.
This is Here and Now.